Two things going here. I'm going to ask Tech to lead us in prayer, and then he has a testimony to give to you this morning. And one of these days, I'm going to get him wound up, and I want you to hear his life story. I first met Tech a number of years ago when he came to Tribeca. Almost didn't have any shoes on.
No.
Clothes on his back's about all he had with him. But the Lord has helped him through this, and he comes to us from Ethiopia, and one of these times you need to hear his story. God does marvelous things with people. But he has his testimony this morning, so I'm going to ask him to lead us in prayer, and then he's going to give his testimony this morning. Tech?
Our Father in heaven, our gracious Lord, it is wonderful to be in your presence this day with many brothers that know you as their personal Savior. We thank you for this privilege, dear God, in a world that is constantly changing. But yesterday, today, and forever, you're the same God. Your heart works today. And Lord, there is a yearning and hunger within us to see a revival in our nation. Dear Lord, I pray that you lead our religious leaders to be faithful to you. All ministers of the gospel on all denominations. We pray that you will be with our President, O God, Vice President, Cabinet members, Lord, people in the Congress that know you as Lord and Savior, to shine for you at a time when people are changing and their hearts are filled with hatred and a spirit of dissension. I pray, Lord, that you visit this nation, that once again it will proclaim that it is a nation under God. We thank you for being here today. Bless us together, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
My heart, most of you don't know me. My name is Tech Wubne, originally from Ethiopia. There are a number of people that know me from my church, but I am really privileged to be here among you today, and it really pleases me, and it pleases the heart of the Lord that we are from different denominations and yet one in God. My heart is overwhelmed with joy for God's greatness and mercy for my life. I don't know how I deserved all this, but I found the Lord Jesus Christ at a young age. And so one day, my senior student, I believe I was in the 7th grade, he was in the 12th grade, he was reading journal from the United States, from a Bible school. And when I heard him read it, something struck me. And somehow it was really inscribed in my heart in such a way that I said, one day I'm going to America. And that stuck with me. I prayed for 9 years, and I came to the United States at a time, that is in 1970, when hardly anybody came to the United States except children of rich people or, you know, people at the university. There was only one university, you know, top-notch students. But the miracle-working God, he put that prayer in my heart that day when I said, I'm going to America one day, and I never got discouraged in spite of the discouraging things that I encountered, you know. And then one day it happened. I arrived in the United States 48 years ago. And, you know, I'm 58 years old. And then I know you're saying, how does this bald-headed, gray guy say he's 58 years? That is my Christian birth, 58 years ago. And then what's amazing is, 48 years ago, I came to the United States, 58 years old, Christian. September is a wonderful month for me because I came close to September to the United States, 48 years. I was born in Christ 58 years ago. I was born physically many years before that.
Come on, tell us.
So, I went to four different universities here in Tennessee, including Murfreesboro. I earned four degrees in an amazing way. I did not have the resources. I received little scholarship, but God's grace, let me go through a refining fire where I didn't hardly slept 3-4 hours, you know, working full time and going to school. God's grace is amazing. And most of all, I am extremely grateful to God that He has allowed me to live as old as I am today. Tomorrow is my birthday. And now I don't mind telling you, 75th year, you know, that God has allowed me to live. God has performed amazing miracles. He pulled me 4 times from the portals of death.
Mm-hmm.
One time I was working in my house, I collapsed, fell on the ground, and I was sitting there. I would try to sit up and then go down, sit up and then go down. Finally, I just laid there, sweated a lot, and then slept for about half an hour. There was a guy from Poland that was helping me at the house. He went for lunch, and then he came knocking real hard, and somehow I woke up. And then holding the wall, and like it was my soul was coming out, you know, and I was really struggling. And I cried out to God and I said, God, I know I'm ready to meet you, but I said, I am not ready to leave my 6-7-year-old child and my wife. Please, Lord. And then, you know, somehow I was strengthened. And I allowed the guy to come in and he was shocked, you know, my appearance. He said, what's the matter, can I take you to the hospital? And I said, no, just take me to my car. And I went to my car. My wife doesn't know, she's a nurse, she's working. And so I slept in my car for half an hour and went back to work, not knowing what has happened to me. And I was bleeding internally. And then when I went Monday, what came out of me was as black as charcoal. And I could have died. And the Lord heard that prayer and preserved my life. So to this God, I am extremely grateful. And then bringing me to such a wonderful country that God has established this side of heaven that has blessed in like no other country in human history, that has blessed the nations of the world materially and spiritually, the missionaries that have been scattered, evangelists across the globe that have changed lives, of which I am one as a result of missionaries. I'm very grateful. God has blessed us in this nation. And my brothers, I want to urge you to pray for revival for our nation. We need God's visitation. lot of good things are happening, but a lot of bad things are happening also. But I'm encouraged by the fact that there are over 3,000 prayer groups in this nation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be a part of them and cry out to God for God to send us revival.
Amen.
Amen.
Sure.
Thank you so much for
amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tech. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
He's really not that old. I really wasn't expecting to lead this group this soon. Dr. Henneke pulled some quick ones on me every once in a while. So. I've had some thoughts I'll share with you that really need more study time on my part. I had gotten to where I pulled out about 40 verses that I was working on and hadn't got them in the right kind of order just yet. And he said, well, you're on. And so here we are. One of the areas I've been working on has to do with these last two studies that we've had with Dr. Henneke, where he has been talking about to know him. I had one set of notes that I was working on for a later time, and I thought I better not try that this morning. I don't think I'm ready for that yet. So I just wanted to say a couple of things about that. And one of them is this. From the ancient Greeks down to the Renaissance man, to the humanists and to the modernists and to the liberals today, knowledge reigns supreme. You understand that? Knowledge reigns supreme. But for Christians of all ages, everywhere in the world, love reigns. Okay. And the great phenomenon that goes on between those two is unbelievable. It slipped into us so subtly, and I'm not going to get off on that this morning. I'm going to just leave it there. I'm working on that for some time later after we get through the book of Romans, if we ever do. And so I'll continue that study sometime later, maybe. Maybe. I'm like Tech, I'm getting old. And so I have to stay with my notes a little bit more. So these 40 verses that I had worked on and got them down, but I haven't gotten them in good sequence yet, but we're going to go through some of them. And they deal with the word power. Power. So I want to turn to some things. I've talked a little bit about this earlier on in some of my talk with you, and I want to go into some of this. I got two Greek words for you, but I don't want to go into all the declensions and nomenclatures and all this kind of stuff that I'm going to leave that to the Greek classes. One of the things that has bothered me over the years about what goes on in our churches is that we brought some of our studies out of the classroom and put it in the pulpit. And the people don't have all the background, and we have just sent them off in all kinds of ways. And so, but it impresses them that we got all this knowledge, and so they go out impressed, but not blessed sometimes. And so I'm going to leave all that out there and just deal with these two words. And the first of the Greek words is the word dunamos. The other of the words is exousia. Exousia. These are the two words that are the base words for power in the Greek New Testament. Exousia appears in the New Testament 103 times. But the interesting thing about it is it's in seven different unique situations. And in seven different forms, okay? It has reference to power, authority, rights, liberty, jurisdiction, ability, strength, and privilege. Those words can be inserted rather than the word power. With dunamos, and that's the word where we get dynamite, though the Greeks didn't know about that right then. It comes up in the New Testament 127 times. And it comes to us in 9 different unique words, forms. It has reference again to power, mighty works, strength, miracles, might, virtue, and the mighty. And then there are 9 miscellaneous little places where they slip it in. And it has something unique to say about each of those. And so I want us to read some verses this morning. I quickly culled out 12 of these little verses that will go with power. And I want to read them and make a comment or so about them. And if you feel like you want to say something about them, that's fine. But I've given these verses out, and somebody has Acts chapter 1, verse 7. Now, let me remind you, I've talked about this on several other occasions where I have talked about that which comes from the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. It is not just an indwelling presence of a Holy Spirit. There's something involved in that. Of course, in my upbringing, they spent the most time talking about purity. And that's okay. The Holy Spirit can purify you, but He also will empower you. And so I've talked about that a few times, but listen to this verse in Acts chapter 7. This is the word exousia that's used, and we're going to use the word power, okay? Somebody read Acts chapter 1, verse 7.
He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth."
Now the Greeks do some funny things. When they want to change the basic word, they'll put something in the front or something at the back of that word, and it changes it. And this is one of those places where it can be changed. He has authority or jurisdiction over the times and the seasons. Don't complain about it's going to get winter time. It's coming. Mankind would like to think he has something to do, but we really don't have anything to do with the times of the season except one thing. Live through them as long as you can. I talk about the weather people all the time. I said to my wife, they don't know. They're guessing. And if they get it right, they aren't in control of it. It's going to rain and snow and sleet and hail and storm and all these kinds of things, and you and I don't have anything to do with it. I sometimes wonder if the Lord has anything to do with it. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I've lived longer than I thought I would already. When I tell people I'm better than I deserve, it's because I survived Korea. When I made that in John Beach landing, they gave me 10 seconds because I was a point man. First man hit the beach. Out of the 36 of us that left Fort Jackson, South Carolina, only 3 of us came back. I'm the only one still here. I'm the only one that came back swinging both arms and legs. Because God was in control. He is not only in control of the seasons, He's in control of you and me. And so here's one of those places where it's His jurisdiction. He's in control of these. Now, somebody has chapter 1, Acts 1, 8. That's the next verse over.
"That you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth."
Now here's a place where dunamis can be, rather than the word power, can be the word strength, or the word might, or the word ability. Don't get caught up in the word and miss what he's trying to say. He is saying, I am going to make it possible for you to be my witness throughout the world. Can you imagine that? Throughout the world. I marvel today at how many places have not yet received a Bible. But I do a lot of missionary study work stuff, and I am keenly aware that there are many places in this world where the dialect that they use has no written language. Are you aware of that? No written language at all. So they have no Bible. Thousands of those languages. You're probably aware that China has a national language. It's their written language, and it's their spoken language. But most of the dialects that are out among the people, there's thousands of them in China, they have no written language. It's only spoken. And when they want to communicate, they communicate with the national language. Okay? So one day I'm sitting and we had a young boy from China with us. He was at college, and I was trying to get this across one time, and I couldn't get it across to my friend Noah. And one day we're in the cafeteria, and I notice he's reading something. So I go over, and I can see right now, I can't read that, that's for sure. That's scribbling stuff, you know. And he's reading it all kinds of different ways. And I said to him, what does that say? He paused for a minute. He said, I can't tell you. Well, I said, why are you reading it? Well, he said, because this is the national language. And I have to translate it into my own dialect before I can tell you what it is. And God has a way to give you and me and others around us the ability or the power to work through those translation times and share not just history, not just political science, not just buildings. Jesus wants us to be His witnesses. Don't miss that about Pentecost. Don't get all caught up in how many was there and what were the winds and the fires. God is taking ordinary people and making them witnesses. Wow. Did you ever think you were a witness? You know what a witness is. That's somebody who tells the truth about what really happened. Okay. Now let's look at some verses that speaks about power as it's related to Jesus. Okay? Somebody's got Matthew 6, 12 and 13.
Here it is. And forgive us our debts as we ourselves have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Recognize that? The Lord taught us to pray, recognizing that all power, all might, all authority comes from God. The only reason you have any authority and power over your children is because God gave it to you. God knows you need it. The Lord knew my parents needed it. But He's asking us to pray. He's telling these rulers, remember, Jesus had to go before the authorities and the church leaders. And you remember what He said to them? You don't have any power over me. You don't have any authority over me. The only reason you have authority at all is because God granted it to you. You have the ability and you have the privilege simply because God gave it to you. Isn't that amazing? It reminds us, if you have any power at all, it's not because somebody gave it to you, it's because God granted it to you. Even the ability for you and me to be here this morning God's in it. You're here this morning because God has kept that angel up there from coming down and saying, it's time to go. My wife keeps reminding me she don't want to miss the boat. She likes that little song that they sing about the boat. She said, I don't want to miss the boat. Well, I have good news for you and for me and for her. That's not for you and me to say. God's in control of that. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6.
But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise, take up your bed, and go home.
You remember that story? I love it. I like these kinds of stories. I've been to Israel, and it just amazes me that they could take the roof off. What do you think about that, Frank? You see some guys up there, got him up there and going to lower him down through this. That could be a strange building. But you know, we get so caught up in some of the incidences there that we really miss what's going on. Here, Jesus, or God, and the Holy Spirit are all working together, and I want to tell you something. Jesus is telling these people, I have unlimited power. My ability is not based on the medical world. My message is not based on the theological world. My message is based on what my Father has told me to come and say and do and be. Now see, in this verse, Jesus is trying to get the spiritual leaders particularly to understand at least two things. One, sickness, disease, and setbacks and sin are not necessarily synonymous. Now the Jews had a problem with that. You were sick because you sinned. Just read the book of Job. If something that befalls you, it's because you've done something wrong. If you're born with some kind of disease, your parents have sinned, and you have sinned, and you're bearing the consequences of it. Jesus said, hogwash. Oh, wow, it's fables. It's not true. And so if you get sick, don't ask God to get the devil off of you. Just has to give you a good doctor. There are times when he has to touch you. I've been there, done that. The second thing is, Jesus is telling them, I have the power and authority over sickness, diseases, and sin. I can either heal the man or I can forgive him of his sins. It makes no difference. I can do them both. Wow. That startled them. Yeah, they weren't worried about this man getting up and walking and taking his bed. Except when he did it on Sunday. That was another problem. But he's saying to them, do you not understand who I am? That's why I have come. I have come not just to heal the body, but to heal the sin-sick soul. I've been to both of those. You seen that little song, He Touched Me? He touched me. I told you before, I had to be touched by the Lord. But I don't get nearly as excited about what has happened to me physically and mentally as I am what happened to me spiritually. Folks, where would you be today had God not rescued you? I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to think about those who'd had to be with me. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Somebody's got verses 18 and 20.
Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go better translation, as you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age.
Yeah. Now see, he's got one of those translations that didn't use the word power. Some of yours will have the word power. They decided they're going to find that little ending on the Greek and say, well, this one means authority. Notice what he's saying. All authority is given me. All 16, maybe more, derivatives of power are found in Christ Jesus without limit. That word all, I don't know that all means all the time, but with him it does. No doubt about it, it leaves nothing out. I love this little statement. There ain't nothing he can't do. That's what the little guy said when they were asking why he was praying. He said, I'm praying to somebody that there ain't nothing he can't do. He can do it all. From the smallest to the greatest, he can do it. You know who gave him that power? Who gave him that authority? The one who is in control of authority. This was hard for the Hebrew people to understand, that Jesus is claiming to be God. I used to think that was kind of a stupid thing for them to do until I began to realize, you know, folks, it takes a lot of faith to be a Christian. I mean, he says he's going to come again, and I'm glad he said how he's going to come, because somebody, somewhere along the world, as they have before, you're going to come again and say, I'm him. I am he. You ever read about some little dummies?
Yeah.
First thing I want to tell you, let me see you walk across the water. let me see you take care of the storms. Let me see you heal a sin-sick soul. I sincerely believe that Jesus wants us to accept this power and this authority and go out into the world, not just to our churches and not just to our own people and not just to the United States. Go to the world and teach others. Maybe even show others. Now that's tough. I had a hard time saying that. Because we're such humble souls. We're so insecure. But we're to go out and teach others. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to show others about God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and the power that's available to all who will come to be believers in Christ Jesus. That's what he wants from us. So what kind of power does Jesus give to those who claim him as Lord of all? Well, let's look at a few scriptures here and make a few comments. Luke chapter 1, verse 35.
And the angels answered and said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.
And I'm aware that this is an unusual verse, an unusual circumstance. It's the only time it's going to happen in the universe. But this angel is telling this young lady, the power of God is going to fill you to capacity. Points out some conditions. maybe all the conditions. It says the power of God is available to all of his children, not just Mary. God is able to fill you and me to capacity. The power of the Almighty, God's power, God's ability, God's strength in us can do for us what nothing else can do. And I know Mary was just a little maiden, and we don't even have her, we don't even have her baptismal credentials. We don't have her church membership. And she's just a little girl. But whoever you are, wherever you are, when you allow the power of the Almighty to overshadow you, you are in a different world. Amen. Yes, sir.
I can't help but tell the story of Willa Dean McCaskill. This has just happened within the last couple of weeks. Her daughter, she was right at death's door. Her daughter prayed over her as she was just about to leave the world. And she tells the story on the other end. She said, I saw my husband, I saw those that had gone on before me. But they said to me, this is not unto death. And she came back. Her daughter was praying over her at that time and asking God to save her. Yeah. And then just within a few days after that, her daughter, who had prayed over her, had a stroke and died.
Yes. Yes, this has happened.
She's alive. Yes. Her Willa Dean is alive today and strong and walking around and carrying on her life.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. God's good.
God
has worked. Yeah. Yes. Okay, Luke chapter 10, verse 7. I love this one. Somebody got it. Luke 10, 17.
Toby, several of the readings have had kind of a nice concluding punchline to them. I'm thinking especially of Frank's reading. So I'd like to do 17 on through 20 if it's okay.
Okay.
Because I think it was a wonderful thought. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a lightning flash. Look, I've given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will ever harm you. Here it is. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Yeah. I love this. Pardon my little pun, but my brothers used to try to scare the devil out of me. God took the devil out. Oh, he's still around. If you don't think so, come talk to me. I'll tell you some people you ought to go meet. Then you'll know there's a devil around. Have you thought about that? God granted you and me power over the devil. Not only over the devil, but over evil. Yeah. Gave us power over evil. Wow. I love that. Because greater is he that is in you than he who thinks he rules the world. Power over all the enemy of your soul. God grants that to you and me. Isn't that wonderful? We're not just church folks. We're not just Nazarenes and Baptists and Catholics and Church of Christ and all these others. We are God's chosen ones. I chose you. You didn't choose me. And I will empower you to look at the devil and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You can do that. Not by your own strength, but because there's a spirit within you that he can't overcome. Well, let's go to Luke. You almost got too far for me. I'll go to Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Listen to this one now.
"And look, I'm sending you what my father promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
It's interesting now. See, here's one of those places that you're supposed to tarry until you are clothed or covered or filled with the power from on high. From the ability from on high. If I'm not careful, I get caught up in the place. I get caught up in Jerusalem, or I get caught up in 510 Woodland or wherever your church is, and I miss where the power comes from. The power does not come from the pulpit. It doesn't become power because I have a doctrine or a creed or a denomination, or even if I'm ordained. It comes from on high. It comes at the throne of God. But you have to stay there long enough to receive it. We are in too big of a hurry. We want everything instantly. We want it now. Some things just don't come that way. You remember when the Jesus and the apostles were coming down off the mountain? And there was a little boy down there that just... I don't know if you know this word or not, but they called him a lunatic. Said he's demon-possessed. And the man said, "I brought him to your followers and they couldn't do anything with him." I don't know if that bothers you, but that really bothers me. Because I have heard that testimony. I came and they couldn't do anything for me. They wouldn't do anything with me. Jesus said, "Bring the boy here." And Jesus healed the boy. And when they got inside the house, remember they asked him, "Why? Where was this power you gave us? Where was this authority you gave us? We couldn't do this with the boy." And now I don't understand all this. He said, "This doesn't come about except by prayer and by fasting. You don't receive that kind of power just because an occasion comes up. There's got to be some relationship between you and God before this is going to happen." And I'm going to tell you, it can happen. Dr. Henry can tell you about some of the times that he's had these kinds of things happen. I can tell you, I've knelt by at least three guys who were demon-possessed, whom God touched immediately and changed their lives completely. When I was just a young fellow, at my church in Jacksonville, Florida, I led a group of young people. I had already been to Korea and come back and was married, and I was leading a group of young people. And then one night, I decided we'd do a dumb thing. We're going to have an all-night prayer meeting. Who ever heard of such a thing? Teenagers, all-night prayer meeting. That's got to be trouble. My pastor said, "Toby, are you sure about this? Just leave the door unlocked." We went in there and we began praying, and about 11:45, Pasco Rowe came to me and said, "Y'all keep praying, I'm going to go get my brother." Why? This time of night, you'll go get your brother. Yeah. So he goes and he gets his brother from a bar. And he is stone drunk. And he drags him into there and staggers him off down there and throws him across that altar and said, let's pray. I'm going to tell you something. We prayed that boy sober. God saved that boy that morning about 2 o'clock. Not because of me nor the group. Because of the power of an almighty God that gives us this kind of thing. We tarried right there until God answered that prayer. Changed the boy's life completely. Sobered him up right there and saved him right there on the spot. Well, I need to get on here. I want you to hear Paul talk a little bit about power. Let's go to Romans 13, chapter 1.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God.
You hear those words? No real power out there except God grants it. Isn't that wonderful? There are people in this world who really think within themselves and believe that they are all powerful. I have a young adopted grandson. And the other day he left his keys in his car and he drove off. Then he writes a little thing and puts it in the Facebook. I am eternal. Everything's fine. I sent a little note back and said to him, you may face the eternal, but you are not eternal. He thinks he rules this world. He thinks everything just. I've met people like that. What breaks my heart is I find them in the church who think that they have the authority and the power and the calling to run the church. Even if it runs people off, they're still going to run the church. There are some people around us who are in control of big businesses. It's nothing nowadays to hear them talk about a billionaire, not a millionaire, billionaires. It's amazing. There are some folks who run cities or in charge of a tribe. Some of them even in charge of a nation. Some of these guys that run our nations think they are in control of the whole world. They think they are the most powerful things. This young man over here in North Korea, he thinks he's... No, over here in China. All around the world, these people think they can run the world. But they don't rule life. And they don't rule the kingdom of God. They're just here on borrowed time. And it's not going to be as long a time as they think it is. Because the sun's going to set one of these days. And sooner than they think, maybe. Well, I hate to think about people trying to control this church. I've been in such positions, I am just thrilled to death that God's in control of the church. In spite of the fact that a lot of people have tried to get in control of the church. And when they do, they find out that it's not what they thought it was. Fella said, if I ever find a perfect church, I'm going to join it. And his wife said to him, don't do it. It won't be perfect. Real power flows through us by the will of God and by the submission of our will to His. Our only hope is in Him. Only in Him. Who's got Romans 15, 13?
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Ah, yeah. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest frame. Wholly lean on Jesus' name. Yeah. That's where your hope is. Romans 1:16.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Wow. There's more power in this one verse than we're going to get to cover. It'll take more than two sessions, I'm sure, but I can't stop without just thinking and telling you that I marvel at the power of God unto salvation. And we're not talking about going to heaven, folks. We're talking about living here right now. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. That's what Zechariah said. Yeah. Everyone, he said, everyone. Can you imagine that? I used to marvel at the fact that he would even bother to talk to me, much less touch me and live within me. I marvel at that, but he said everyone. That includes this whole world out there. And let me tell you something, folks. The people around you and me will see more of Christ than they hear from you and me. If we just let Him flow through us. Well, I'm glad I'm His and He's mine. I don't deserve it. But He saw something and said, you need to be different. I want you to hear this great benediction. Listen to this one. This is Revelation chapter 7.
All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
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 Amen. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit, unafraid, undaunted, lighting the way for sinners to find the light of the world and be transformed by the power working in you through the Holy Spirit. Father, grant us your love and grace today and give us the ability, the power, the opportunity, the privilege to share the good news with someone who's lost in darkness. Bless these men and their families. Grant them your power in this day, for this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Have a good day.
Hey, Toby. I want to tell you, I went